Hey everybody, I'm not going to be able to hear you for a minute here, but we're going to go ahead and start the call. I trust that you guys can hear me, and to double check that, let me try something. This web dashboard is a little bit different than what I was expecting, so bear with me a second. Hey, were you guys able to hear me speaking? Somebody say something?
Yes.
Okay, back into Q&A for you guys. And then now that I know that that's working, we'll kick this off. Hold on. So hey, everyone. I want to welcome you to Ron's question and answer call. We're always very eager. I'm very excited to have a chance to discuss your deals live with you, to do them in real time. We're also glad to be able to take your questions in what really amounts to an open forum that occurs monthly. Clearly, you've noticed that this isn't Ron. My name's Joel Sangerman. It is possible that Ron may join us in a bit, but I'm not 100% sure about that, so I'll be on the lookout. But I'll certainly do my best to provide some guidance and discussion on doing deals Ron's way. That, of course, for those of you who've been in Ron's world for some period of time, know that it really just means doing deals wisely, doing them in the most profitable fashion with the least amount of risk. So the folks at Global asked me to provide a little bit of background on myself prior to doing the call. I'll do that. But first, let me announce some logistics for the call, because this will be important if you want to ask questions or get your deals discussed. First, this call is actually held the second Monday of every month. And Gold Club members, if you're in the Gold Club, you can submit your deals prior to the call, and we'll review them right here. If you're not a Gold Club member yet, you can listen, but you're not able to participate interactively. Now you can get more information and sign up for the Gold Club, of course, at www.ronsgoldclub.com. And I also wanted to explain how you ask questions and how you get into the queue to discuss your deal. The most important point is that if you're a Gold Club member and you want to ask a question or discuss a deal, you've got to press *6. To be entered into the queue. Okay, if you have a question, go ahead and hit *6 and it'll enter you in the queue. Now, this is important because this mistake has been made before. If you're a Gold Club member but you didn't dial in on the interactive line that's actually listed on the Gold Club membership site, the number that's listed on the site after you log in, you should probably hang up now and dial back in using that phone number. If you just responded, you know, using the phone number from an email, that may be to folks who aren't, that phone number may be for folks who aren't in the Gold Club. Therefore, if you hit *6, it won't work. So if your *6 isn't working to get you in the queue, then you got to go back, log into the Gold Club, and dial in from that number. Then you'll be enabled to get into the queue. Okay? So I'll trust that everyone has that. So let me give you a little bit of my background. Again, Joel Sangerman. I've grown really as a real estate entrepreneur in Ron's system that's evolved over the last 20 years or so, using real estate as a primary catalyst to generate both fast cash and longer-term asset growth. If you go back, my first courses with Ron were in the early 90s when his courses were actually sold via cassette tapes. So we did things way differently back then. Although the core of the system is very similar. And it was easy then, but I can tell you however many more years ago that was, deals were much, much harder to do than they were today. I mean, we actually had to go to people's houses. We actually had to meet with people. You know, this is in the 1990s. This is before Al Gore even invented the internet. But we have the internet now, and it makes life a lot easier. You know, I don't think Ron would get tired of hearing this. I can tell you that Ron is probably not probably, definitely the best teacher, the best coach that I've ever had, including college, playing sports in college, including a professional career that I've had and still have in healthcare. Using the learning systems, using the techniques that Ron and Global Publishing have perfected, I've actually had the luxury of doing both Ugly House deals as well as the Pretty House business, or what we call the terms business. So that means doing wholesale deals for quick cash. It means doing retail rehabs for bigger cash, but maybe a little longer paydays. And certainly all the elements of Ron's term system are what we sometimes call the Pretty House business. That will include subject to deals, over-financed homes, lease options, sandwich lease options, the assignment of contracts and term system that we've used in the past, just doing straight-up options, and of course all sorts of owner financing. So with that as a backdrop, I can tell you that Ron's system really aims to create transaction engineers out of his students. It's really up to you to determine if you want to specialize in a particular area that you prefer, or if you want to be a generalist and make deals on whatever comes at you, which happens to be my preference. So tonight, and really every month, it's an opportunity to true up your understanding of this system so that you can get better at it and so that you can make more money. Now, I'll tell you, I've bought and sold tens of millions of dollars worth of real estate, profited nicely while helping both sellers and helping buyers. And importantly, and still to this day, even if someone asked to lead these kinds of calls, I still always try and get on the calls monthly. I don't really have to tell you guys that you're on the call. But these calls, as well as the Gold Club, it's really a treasure trove of knowledge. And the people who do the best are those who are thirsty for this knowledge and are willing to go through these sorts of events and collaborations and then implement on it. So with that, let's go ahead and get started. I think we have some questions in the queue here. Again, just hit *6. I should be able to see you in the queue. And by the way, I should mention, we've really only budgeted an hour for this call, time-wise, so I do plan to end the call, right at about 8 Eastern. So depending on how many questions we have, I'm going to try and pace the conversation appropriately. And also, I'll usually try to answer questions that occur on this group call in the best interest of everyone on the call, because if one person has the question, there's probably others who do as well. So that way more than just the questioner can benefit from the answer. So hopefully that's fair enough. And with that, let me see if I can open this queue here. Q&A session. So let me see if this works here. I should be able to click your name. Hold on, not working. Let me try this differently here. I'm trying to get to somebody by the name of Durstel. So bear with me while I get you off mute. Click the next button. It's odd. I don't know why I don't get a next button here. Oh, here it is. Okay. My fault. I was looking at the wrong part of the screen, guys, so my apologies for that. I'm actually going to go to, I believe it is Seth Hill. Seth, are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. I'm glad to hear your voice. I was getting lonely for a second there, wondering if you all were with me.
Yeah, I'm here.
Cool. So what's on your mind, Seth?
I sent in a property information sheet. I sent in two of them.
Okay, let's pull them up here. I did get a couple of sheets. I wanted to make sure we were all good with everybody. So your sheet is, let's see, let me find you. Are you Happy Valley, Oregon?
Yeah, that's one of them, yep.
Okay. Let's talk about this one on Constance Drive.
Okay, so this is my, I just kind of started doing this, and this is my first two yes leads with the VA
mm-hmm.
surface.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just kind of walking through it with somebody that knows what the hell they're doing, if that's all right with you.
Certainly, that's the purpose of the call. So I'm all ears. What questions do you have about the deal?
So
and,
this
and set it up for everybody. Set up what's going on and what your intention is here.
Sure. This house is in a neighborhood, a really nice neighborhood. Their asking price is $1,090,000. When they were asked what it would appraise for, they assumed it would be $1,090,000, but it's not been appraised yet. They have two mortgages that total $650,000. I know on the form there it doesn't say that, but that's actually how it is. And then, let's see, this is a five-bedroom, five-bath. It's a large home. It's 6,200 square feet, half acre. So the HOAs are pretty high. That was one of my questions, if I should even pursue this. The HOA fees are $600 a month, and so I think that's all the facts.
Okay.
Four-car garage. Doesn't need any repairs, but the owner plans on painting the basement, or the downstairs anyway.
Understood. Okay, so there's a lot to work with here, even though there's only a little bit of information provided. There's not enough information for us to really get what you have to do, so I'm going to give you some homework on it.
Yeah.
But a couple comments
sure.
Will be instructive from this sheet that you submitted. First of all, the asking price of $1 million, anyone who knows me knows I love those deals, the higher-end deals. I forget exactly how Ron expresses it, but he says the more dollars you wallow in, the more stick to you. I really don't know what the verb wallow means, but I assume it means being around a high dollar deals. And
yeah.
And the reason for that is even smaller percent spreads mean lots of money. If you make 20% on this deal, that's $200,000 in your pocket. So
yeah.
I'd rather do a $1,090,000 deal than a $109,000 deal. It's 10 times better. And even though it may be hard for you to believe this, it is way easier to get sellers to sell you these kinds of deals on terms. And it's not much more difficult to get buyers. And the reason for that is there isn't as much explaining that you have to do. A lot of folks who have high-value homes like this are familiar with finance and financing and some of the math that goes into it. They're, mm-hmm. you know, they have much more confidence sometimes so that they don't feel like they're getting taken by some real estate investor, and they're willing to work with you on things that make sense. And what we present are structures, and we let them tell us the terms in terms of the actual numbers, the actual prices. So if it makes mm-hmm. sense, it makes sense because they said so, not because we said so. So that's the first thing. I'm glad that you're involved in a higher-end deal like this. The second thing...
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I mean, especially in Oregon, you're not going to find too many lower-end properties there because of the way real estate is appreciated in that area. But mm-hmm. almost all markets within some kind of distance have homes like this that you can deal with, at least metro markets for sure. So the mortgage information... This is something you're going to have to follow up on, and this is, you know, a sticking point, if you will, for a lot of folks. So you got the mortgage information at $650,000, but we don't have any idea what the PITI is or the principal interest taxes insurance. What has to go out monthly on this house? You know that there's $600 a month. That may be a lot. It may not, but it all depends. And that is a must-have piece of information. We've got to know what the payment is. So was this a situation where the VA just wasn't able to get it, or have you already followed up with the seller?
I haven't followed up yet because I didn't want to screw this up.
Well, okay, so that's another point that would be instructive for folks. Look, there's mm-hmm. lots and lots and lots of houses for sale, and there's always going to be lots and lots of houses for sale. Please do not worry about screwing deals up. You are going to screw deals up. I screw deals up. I'm pretty sure Ron screws deals up. but we make the calls. You've got to call the sellers. You've got to get in the game with the sellers. You've got to follow the scripts and get good at them, and you've got to ask the questions. Otherwise, you're going to have to do a whole lot of practice, you know, into a tape recording machine or with index cards or something. But you're really not going to be perfect at this until, I mean, you're never going to be perfect, but you're not going to be excellent at it until you make these calls. So you're going to blow a lot of deals, so don't even worry about blowing deals. Okay, you're going to need 20 yeses as a new student before you get one or two deals done. So I wouldn't worry about that at all.
Okay.
Now, having said that, there are going to be times where the VA has difficulty in getting the mortgage information. They've got a script that they follow and they go through it, but sometimes people are just more comfortable giving it to the principal, which is you, the buyer. You can use the script. I very seldom have trouble getting this information from somebody that I'm going to consider working with, because it's pretty obvious to them when you explain to them that, look, I'm not trying to get your mortgage information so I can post it all over the internet. I need to understand the financial position of the house so I can structure a deal around it that makes sense. You indicated that you would take a monthly payment on this, and that monthly payment that you get is going to depend heavily on the financing that exists today, as does my ability to cash you out and in what time frame. So help me help you. What is the monthly payment on this house in total going out? Principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. And I'm just going to tell you right now, if they continue to give you grief and won't give you that information, then they weren't truly a yes anyway, and they're not really interested in selling you the house, and they're going to be a royal pain in the neck to deal with. So I just choose not to deal with them. I just say, look, I've got to have that information. It's a non-starter. If I can't understand what the payment structure is on this house or the financing, if you're going to sell it for all cash, you know, there's a payoff statement that's going to have to be given anyway. Somebody's going to learn about the financing on this house, and if it's not going to be me, then I'm not going to be the buyer. But if you'll just relax and give me the information, then we can talk about how I can structure a deal for you. And you've got to come at people from the angle of, you're not selling them, they need to sell you.
Okay.
So we're going to get the mortgage information, or we're going to move on. So that's one thing we need to know, and we don't have that information here. You know that the HOA is $600. You don't know what the underlying payment is. So the reason that's important is ultimately you're going to have a number that's going to tell you what the rental income could be on this house, and you need to compare that with the number that you're going to have to pay the seller all in, principal, interest, taxes, insurance, HOA, to determine what kind of spread is possible, and then negotiate from there. We're trying to create spreads, which I'll address later probably in the call, but you have no idea what your spread is because you don't know what the underlying mortgage is. So you've got to get that information. And another thing, with you being new and, you know, saying that you don't want to screw it up, but by the way, you know, I should have asked Seth, you live there in Oregon, or is this far away for you? Okay, you're right there.
No, this is like 15, 20 minutes away.
Good.
Yeah.
Hold on one sec. So the net of it is you're going to have to get with the seller and ask them some questions. And what I would like for folks to do more of is stop with the pre-game analysis. Stop with the looking up Zillow at all the comps and the properties and everything that's going on around it. I don't even want you to care about that at this point. What you need to care about is this. Hey, look, I'd like to buy your house. In fact, I'm sure I can buy your house. It's a lovely house. I'm not going to live it in myself, but I'm going to put someone in there, get them qualified for a loan that's going to get you cashed out. I'll buy it, but I need you to be willing to accept monthly payments for a period of time until I can get you cashed out in full. So there's no need for us to go any further in this conversation until we determine that you're willing to do that. Are you willing to do that? And you have to be direct with folks and make sure they understand that the only reason you're talking to them is because they're willing to have a little bit of patience in return for much more money. And it is much more money. It's a lot more money. When you calculate that they don't pay a realtor commission, they don't pay closing costs, they're not going to have to negotiate crazy discounts, they're not going to have inspection concessions, and on top of that, which is far different than what they would net through a realtor in a traditional sale, on top of that, they're going to be getting monthly payments that are either paying their equity down or possibly they're even, you know, making a little bit of interest monthly depending on how we structure it. But on a piece of paper, they will get way more money with you than comparing that deal to a traditional deal that closes immediately on paper. But people tend to want to take what they're familiar with, which happens to be a lower amount of money, because there's humans involved, and humans don't always do what they say they're going to do, and it's just too much risk for them. So your goal on the call is to, one, establish that the deal you're offering is fair and more money for them, and then you can establish the trust and the integrity and the competency with them so that they'll be willing to do it. So from the very get-go, I don't like to see a whole lot of analysis on what you might present to this seller, because it all depends on how they answer questions. So from the very get-go, the conversation should be, hey, look, you spoke with Jenny, my virtual assistant. Well, don't say virtual assistant, but you spoke with Jenny, my assistant. She mentioned that you'd be willing to take monthly payments on this for a period of time. That's one of the reasons that I'm calling. Can you verify that? And they'll probably have questions. And if they do, that sometimes they'll start going into the details of the house, especially on a $1 million house, just stop them and just say, look, before we get into that, I we need to be clear that I can buy this house and I can close on it right away. You're not going to get cashed out immediately, though. You're going to collect monthly payments, either from me or from an escrow account that we'll set up so that you're paid monthly, and then in due time, we'll cash you out. They'll ask other questions, and you can explain to them that all that is really happening here is you're putting someone in there who doesn't qualify for a loan right now. You're going to get them qualified over whatever time you guys can agree on, and then that will cash them out. And then they're going to ask, you know, how do you make money and those kinds of things sometimes, and you can explain that you make it, you know, from doing the loan and from helping the buyer get qualified. And you're going to get a little bit of a premium on the price. So it's in your interest to get them cashed out quickly as well. But the good news is that the seller gets monthly payments all along. And can they live with that? And I would not let off of that topic. Otherwise, you're going to end up on the phone for 30 minutes talking about barbecue grills and tile and granite countertops and all the crap that they did that means nothing to you if they won't take terms.
Yeah, exactly.
You with me, Seth?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I spent that time with you kind of giving that dissertation because I think it's instructive to everybody that I see sheets like this all the time that are yes leads, and the person submitting the lead is all happy and glad and excited because they got a yes lead from the VA, but it's really not enough. The yes is just the reason for you to call. So the way I like to look at it is, I don't want people even doing anything in this business on their own in the spirit of the less I do, the more I make, until you have a stack of yes leads on your desk and you're calling yes leads. That's the beginning from you. That's the green light. All the other stuff should be done by your VA or you know, whoever you have assisting you. Your time is best spent speaking with sellers who have already indicated some level of willingness to accept terms, and that's a yes lead. Then you begin, Seth. So we don't begin with this. We do begin with the yes sheet, but you got the beginning is calling the seller, verifying that they'll take monthly payments, and then you're going to go through the big four questions, which is actually an evolution that's occurred within Ron's system. And if you haven't been through Ron's mastering the phone, I'm not sure if he has that event. I'm sure it's been recorded because I was at the event, but I'm not sure if it's for sale yet. But if it is, you need to get it because there's nothing more important than mastering your ability to talk to sellers on the phone, and that's what that course is about. So inquire about that with Global Publishing. But in that course, you'll learn four things that you have to establish. This is your green light. This is you, you know, hitting the accelerator. It's you have to ask them. So what is the lowest price you will take? What is the lowest monthly payment you will take? Do you understand that we buy with nothing down? That's okay, isn't it? And then the fourth has to do with the term. What's the longest term that we can have on this agreement? Let them answer those questions and then see if it fits into our paradigm of doing deals. And if it doesn't, then there's some negotiating to do. And if it still doesn't after negotiating, then you have the opportunity to just take their terms for what they've offered, get a contract on it, which is now an asset that you have because you now have owner or control of that property, and you can take it into the market and see what the market brings at no cost and no risk to you. That's how you can go about getting free assets, which are agreements. Agreements are assets because those agreements are saleable. That's why they call it assigning contracts, assigning terms. You get paid to do that. So your goal in some ways isn't even to buy a house, it's to get an agreement. But you want a saleable agreement. If someone is going to give you terms on a $300,000 house, a $299,000 down and $1,000 in financing, you're going to have a tough time getting that sold in the market. So that's an evaluation that we can explore later. But you know, get the best terms that you can and decide if you're going to close immediately or if you're going to go into the market and see what the market brings and then fund your purchase from the proceeds that your buyer brings in. Okay? So I went into that because you have a second sheet in here that's actually very similar. So let me just address that. You've got an asking price at 210. It appraises for 240. Although that's what the seller said, we don't know that for sure because the comps aren't listed on here. But it is a free and clear property. So, you know, there's a chance that they will take a monthly payment that allows you to make a nice spread on it. But we won't know until we ask. So you've got a yes lead. Your job is to get them on the phone and get through those four questions. And what are those four questions, Seth? Let's see how good of a note taker you are. The four things we need to learn are what?
That they're going to agree on terms.
Okay.
Yeah,
actually, that's the first thing. And then what are the four term-specific questions?
That they'll take no money down.
Correct.
Agree on what that is. What the lowest they'll take monthly.
Correct.
And a little shady on the other two.
The other two, you know, you just didn't say them. We need to know what's the lowest price they will take and what's the longest term they will give.
That's right, yeah. Lowest price.
Okay. Now, before I let you go, Seth, I want to explain that for a second. Let's remember what we're trying to accomplish here. There are three paydays on every deal, sometimes four. The first payday is the spread, meaning the difference between a down payment that we may or may not have to give a seller and what we collect from a buyer. That's spread number one. That's your payment right up front before you even close on the deal. The second payment comes monthly, and it's the difference between what you have to pay out to your seller and what you have coming in from your buyer. That's payday number two. Payday number three is the difference in the price you give the seller and the price you get from your buyer. Now that would be good enough for most, but we're always trying to optimize. And you know, Ron does this all the time. I've done it a couple times myself successfully. And that is, this is your fourth payday. When you get your buyer ready to qualify for their loan and get the seller and you cashed out, it almost always happens, if it happens, before the end of the term. So let's say you have a 3-year lease purchase out there and you're 1 year into it and you already got your buyer qualified. You can go back to that seller and say, you know, let's say you owe them $200,000. Hey, listen, I've got an option price of $200 left on this thing. I'm thinking of just waiting the full 2 years out and then maybe I exercise the option, maybe I don't. But I also have some money coming in the next month and I got to thinking that maybe if you'll discount that $200 that you may or may not get a couple years from now because it's an option, you take something now. what would you take now? And maybe you get them to say 150, 160, 170, 180, 190, 195, whatever it is. You know you have 200 coming in. So whatever you can get them down to becomes your fourth payday. And they'll take some kind of a discount. Who wouldn't? Who would want to wait 2 years when they can get cash today? Well, basically in 30 days. And they don't know that your buyer just qualified for the loan. So anyway, that's what we're trying to go for here. And you know, I want you to use that to stay motivated and make those calls to the yes leads and not place too much pressure on yourself that it has to be perfect and you have to get it done. Just ask them the questions and see if it plugs in to what makes sense from a creating spreads standpoint.
Okay.
All right, Seth. So what I'd like you to do is make those calls and follow up with James or the folks at Global who you sent this to, and let them know how it went. And then for next month's call, if you get on next month's call and you do some more of this, the best way to present these lead sheets are you got the yes lead and then you had a conversation with the seller and you got answers to those four questions. And you don't even have to really negotiate it, but if I get a property information sheet that contains all that, it makes it way easier to really discuss actually closing the deal on the call.
Okay. I did have one more quick question on the other property information sheet.
Yep. Oh, this is
that
one. Yep, I see it. I see a third one. Go ahead.
It's the second one on rhododendron.
Okay.
Oregon. For 210. So it's free and clear, but the house is on federal leased land, lease forced fee. They have an annual lease forced fee. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of this, but apparently it's a mandatory fee to the government for leasing the land. You ever deal with anything like that? Or
no, I haven't, and I'd have to look at what all that means. I don't know if you can own the property free and clear or if there's always going to be a lease on it, but if there's always going to be a lease on it, you know, it probably creates a problem for both financing and for you know, what your exit is. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you're going to have to find out what all that means in terms of your ability to sell it and whether or not you're going to be able to create these spreads that we talked about.
Okay.
Yeah, all right, cool. Let me move on here. Seth, thanks for the call. And let me go hold on a second. Let me go to the next. Thanks again, Seth. So this is a call coming from 903 area code, but I don't have a name. So do you know do you know that you're on? Hello? Yep, I don't know if this person is still on, so I'm going to leave it open in case they are. And I'm going to pull up, I got another property information sheet here, so let me find this. And by the way, go ahead and get in queue, folks, because it doesn't look like we have any other callers in the Q&A. So I'm going to go to one of these property information sheets that I got sent in. But if there's no other calls in the queue, then we'll be adjourning a few minutes early here. So, well, we do have a couple people in queue now. So let me go to you guys here. This looks like Middlebrooks from area.
Yeah, hi, it's Ed Middlebrooks and my wife Stephanie. How are you?
Hey, very, very good. I didn't catch what your name was there. I was talking over you.
Sure, it's Ed Middlebrooks and my wife Stephanie.
Oh, Ed and Stephanie. Okay, guys, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Very good. So, what's on your mind?
All right, so I have my VAs sourcing leads. We have 433 leads in the system. We wanted to go over every one with you right now. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. I actually had a question.
You talk faster than the FedEx guy. You got to slow down for me a little bit.
Oh, sorry. Okay. My question is, so when I do yellow letter campaigns, I have the ability to buy a number of different list types. And one of those lists are probates and pre-probates. And I did run into one person that was a no lead that I called them up and we were talking to them, and they talked about how they were in pre-probate. I don't know much about what that means or help people, you know, quote unquote, help people who are pre-probate. I was wondering if you could give me a little bit of information on what that means, and how we deal with people who are in that kind of status, because they're telling me there's a whole bunch of legal things that are going on there.
Well, yeah, because they're, you know, somebody passed who owned property, and unfortunately the courts have to deal with allocating that property to who they think deserves it, because there, you know, there wasn't a very specific will left out. So probate is the legal process that deals with that. So you don't know for sure who you're going to be buying the house from, but that doesn't mean that you can't talk to whoever's running the estate and ask these questions and learn, you know, and learn what's possible. So I would approach it in the same way. I prefer to deal with the properties after that's already been cleared up, because there's plenty of properties that aren't tied up like that. But it's still a way to fill your pipeline.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if it was worth me sending yellow letters to these people or not.
Well,
I think next.
Are you getting your yellow letters from Christy King?
Yes. Well, I'm getting the list from one of her list providers.
I had asked Christy myself, actually, about getting a list of inherited properties. And in doing that, she's added a couple products. So if you haven't ordered from Christy in a while, she's got some new products out there in terms of the lists that that she'll create yellow letters for, and you may want to inquire about that.
I just ordered it, and yes, I did get inheritance.
Yeah, and those are great. And I'll just tell you, in my market, they only allowed, this isn't Christy, this was a different service that I used a long time ago. Again, I told you I've been doing this since the 90s. I think Christy was still cheerleading in high school or something back then, but they only allow three people in a market to get that inherited property list, and I didn't order it during one quarter, and I've been knocked off that list for years, watching people make tons of money off that list. So inherited properties are a very good list to use. The other ones are the usual suspects, like absentee owner lists, expired listings, if you can get a realtor to cooperate. And then depending if you want to target a very specific type of deal, you know, you could get houses that appear to be over-leveraged, and, you know, or ones that have low equity, and try to mail out to those folks so that you can pick up the property on a subject to basis, meaning you just can take over their payments. It's a great way to build long-term wealth and to pick up some quick cash, and those lists tend to work pretty well. So any other questions from you two?
Yeah. So since you've been doing this for such a long time, you know, we noticed that a lot of the course material was created right after 2008. It pertains to buying houses that are, you know, under massive pre-foreclosures. Nobody's selling, nobody's buying, or rather people are trying to sell. They can't get out of it. There's a lot of, you know, foreclosures, bank repossessions. My question is, in today's market, how are you seeing what's happening today? Are we seeing that there's been a downturn in terms of the amount of deals that can be made using the pretty house method?
No,
or do you think it's still really hot? Not at all.
Listen, I've been through, you know, these cycles like more than my washing machine has washed my, you know, my basketball clothes. There's no reason to think that doing pretty house deals is affected in any kind of significant way based on the stage of the market. And the reason for that is because you are both a buyer and a seller. There's going to be times when it's harder to buy but easy to sell. And there's going to be times when it's easy as cake to buy but much harder to sell. And then there's going to be times when it's balanced and it ebbs and flows. And personally, I don't really have a preference for either one, because when I have an easy time buying the house, I tend to sit back and say, man, I wish it was like the days when I had buyers just lined up. And then when I have a hard time buying the house, I'm saying to myself, you know, the opposite. So don't worry about any of that. There are always going to be people who can't afford their monthly payment or who want to get out of a situation because of a personal reason. It could be a divorce or, you know, something along those lines, or a job change, you know, somebody getting deployed overseas if they're in the military. There are always situations where somebody has a payment that they don't want to be making anymore, or where they got stuck where they have two houses, or where they're just not interested in the property. And we're targeting those folks, you know, with yellow letters and then responding to ads that they've placed. And there's just no shortage of them. There really isn't. There never has been, and I don't think that there ever will be. Now, it is true that in, you know, 08 and 09, a lot of the deals that we were doing were short sale types of deals, but that doesn't mean that there weren't deals with equity out there, there weren't rehabs to be done. There were tons of them being done then, including the deals that I did during that stage. So I wouldn't worry about macroeconomics at all. I really wouldn't, because you can't affect macroeconomics. What you can affect is what you're in control of on a daily basis, which is how many calls you make and how good you are on the phone making those calls, listening to your recordings, hearing how you come across, and calibrating as needed. So a little bit more than my 2 cents on that one.
The end of that statement there.
Pardon me?
Yeah, the end of that statement there, obviously, I definitely need to do more of the recording of calls and listening. I mean, I've asked my wife, like, how do you think that went? She says, I think you sound good. But I have, like I said, 430-some-odd properties for my VA. Out of that, I've got a number of no leads. I want to say I have about 15 or 16 yes leads, and not one of them has panned out. When I went to Quick Start, I had two deals that were lined up for me, both of which, when I walked in the door, one of them ended up being listed, so I couldn't buy her house. And then another one ended up being a, hey, I'm not ready to sign any paperwork, and I'm going to go into surgery. And when I get out of it, then we can discuss. And so both of those kind of fell through. And so I just, you know, I'm keeping at it. I'm keeping positive spirits, but I'm still looking forward to doing my first deal. And, it kind of hurts. You know, I'm keeping at it, and I've got a lot of leads being generated. What do you think I ought to be doing differently? I mean, obviously, I guess I could be recording more of my calls, but the ones that I have recorded, I think, sound pretty good. I don't know. Maybe it's the area. I don't know.
Well, first of all, it's not a totally uncommon experience, right, especially when you're new at something. I haven't listened to your recorded calls, of course, but I can tell you that will be the most impactful strategy to improve what you're talking about, which is your conversion ratio. So you don't have a shortage of people telling you that, yes, they will sell on terms, but you do have a shortage of being able to close those folks. And that usually is a function of whatever's happening on the phone. And that's why Ron created the event, Mastering the Phone. And all of you seriously need to consider getting into that event or finding a way to benefit from whatever was recorded and whatever is going to be put together so that people can learn from that particular seminar. And here's what I would say, based on the way you described that to me, and this is just me speculating, but I'll tell you what, people can smell desperation and they can smell need and they can smell that you care too much about something. I mean, think about it before you started dating Stephanie there, right? I mean, I don't know. If Stephanie, you could probably attest to this. If a guy seems like he really wants you too much, then maybe he's a little bit less attractive. It's just like something appears wrong, and maybe that's a crude example, but it happens with sellers too. You're asking them to do something that's somewhat foreign to them, which is to sell on terms. And if you come across like you need it too much and you're begging and pleading and selling them, then it scares them away. As much as you think you're reeling them in, you're scaring them away. Which is why I said at the beginning that one of the best ways to improve your conversion ratio, the amount of yes leads you get back converting into deals, is to be very matter of a fact with people. Look, you talked to my VA. I'm calling you because you said you'd take monthly payments. I want to make sure that's in fact correct. I'm planning on buying your house here in the next week or so, but before I do, we got to come to agreement on these terms. So monthly payments are good with you, and you know they may ask you some questions, and you have to be able to answer those questions. And that's why I like to see practice into the phone, see how you're handling those objections, see how you came across, use the objection handling answers and index cards that are out there, and get good at answering those questions. So that's the first thing that I would say on this topic. Here's the second thing. Okay, and I want this to resonate for everybody in here because you really have to, and once you do one deal or two deals, I mean, even really after you do one, your mindset will entirely change because you'll have not only will know it's possible, but it will have actually occurred and you will have put money in your pocket. And you won't be in the mood to take any grief from sellers because you got to get to the next seller where you're going to get a deal that you can get, you know, 20, 30, 40 grand on. And so here's the approach. This is what I like to tell folks who are new. Let's just think about this for a second, okay? If your house had one of those fires that was up in California and you and your family are, you know, now looking at, you need a place to stay, would you be able to find a place that you could rent? The answer to that is yes. You would be able to find a place that you can rent because there's plenty of people that take monthly payments out there. So one way to get your first deal a little bit easier is to contact for rent by owners instead of for sale by owners. And because you're already halfway there, right? Somebody's already agreed to take monthly payments because they're advertising the house for rent, so that part is done. That's the hard part. And the conversation is, hey, look, I want to rent your house, but the only way I'm going to do it is if you're willing to sell it to me within the term of the lease. Are you willing to do that? And at least a third of them will say yes, you know, if you're not calling just a career landlord. And if they say yes, then there's your lease option right there. Okay, so let's talk about price. And then go through those four questions. And you've got a lease option right in your pocket because they've already agreed to take monthly payments. So that's a quick way of doing it. And then the other thing that's a little bit more abstract, let's say, is to just put yourself in that mindset of I'm going to lease option a house for me and my family. And I have money that I'm going to pay them monthly. And we're going to set an option price so I can qualify for a loan and get it paid off, even though you're not personally going to qualify for the loan. But you are going to be paying them. You're just going to be paying them out of someone else's proceeds. And I'm telling you, when you call people as if you're really looking for yourself, instead of trying to sway them and convince them and persuade them and fit stuff into Ron's system, it just comes across differently. Because people lease their home all day long in every single market. So there really isn't a good reason to have 15 people tell you that they'll lease their home and not be able to close one of them. So it must have something to do with the way you're coming across, which is why I want you to record your calls or get a mentor who can, you know, walk you through the process a little bit more carefully.
Yeah, I have a mentor.
Then I would definitely did you say you do or you don't?
I do.
Okay,
I
would definitely suggest recording calls for that mentor and sending them to the mentors. You know, don't send 30-minute calls, you know, a 5 or 10-minute call, a couple of them, and let the mentor go through it with you. And you'll identify a couple, two, three things that'll make a difference.
Yeah, okay. Question about what you just said. I love the advice. I think we will target current rentals, but I'm wondering, when you rent, don't they normally have in there that, you know, you're going to rent in, it's only going to be you, and they're not going to let you put somebody else in there?
Yeah, I mean, that's the way we rent them, right? We're not going to allow someone to sublease, but you got to call them and just say, hey, look, I want to rent this house, but there's a couple things I need. One, I need to be able to buy it, and two, because I'm not the one that's going to actually live there, even though I'll be the one paying you, you know, I obviously need to be able to put my buyer in there while I qualify him for the loan. Your house is rented, and probably sold if you're willing to do that. Should we continue the conversation or not? Because I got four more people to call. Do you see how I'm just shy of being a jerk? I don't want you to be a jerk on the phone, but I don't want you to be, you know, Mr. Overly Enthusiastic, you know, super nice, begging and pleading. I mean, if you're a mean person to begin with, then be like that, but you guys don't sound like you are.
No, I'm not.
But listen, this is the biggest asset that people have. It's no time for fun and games, and they want somebody who, one, they can trust, and being direct leaves the perception of trust, and they want competency. They want you to know what you're talking about, which is why I really want everyone to go through the term system as much as possible, go to as many quick starts, go to as many seminars, embed the culture of this system into your daily life, and you will find that it's very easy to communicate the features and benefits of doing business with us. And you will also find that after a couple of years, you have a lot of people that are sending you Christmas gifts because they're ecstatic that you bought their house or that you got them a house, that you got them qualified or you got them out of a situation. And that is fuel for the fire. I can tell you, I don't take any grief from really anybody out there because I know how much good I'm doing for a seller who can't make that payment and they were potentially going to have a really rough situation on their hands. And certainly for buyers, you know, who can't qualify for a loan but have, you know, good monthly payment, good jobs, and a lot of cash are extremely happy that they don't have to rent an apartment somewhere, especially when they have kids. So you're doing a good thing. You're just going to have to get better at it. So it's true of just about any skill set in the world is it takes practice and you just have to get better at it. But luckily, there's a lot of people around you because Ron's been around a long time that can, you know, show you the light at the end of the tunnel. Go into Ron's office and look at all the checks that get sent in to him. All that stuff ought to be inspiring to continue pressing through the pain of making those calls and the pain of looking like a fool and the pain of having someone beat up on you on the phone, the pain of thinking you had a deal and then it falling through. You got to go through all that. That's part of it. So is striking out.
Yeah, I think I must be getting shaped for something really great. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Listen, it is going to be really great. And once you get one deal, there's going to be no stopping you. We see it happen all the time. People, you know, you got to kind of pick them up, push them. They get that one deal and you never hear from them again. They don't want to talk to you because time is money.
Okay.
All right, well, thanks, Ed and Stephanie. Good luck to you guys. And I'm going to go ahead and click to the next caller over here, and that is somebody from area code 832.
Yes, that's Bruce Hart.
Can you speak up a little bit? I can't hear you very well, so but state your name and where you're from.
Bruce Hart, and I'm from Onalaska, Texas. Can you hear me all right?
It sounds like you might be in Texas, not because of an accent, because of the distance. But I'll work through it. And your name is Drew, right?
Okay, is this better?
No, but go ahead. I can make it out.
Okay, sorry. I'll make it quick because this is Texas specific. Apparently, Texas is a real pain in the butt when it comes to lease options. And if it's less than 180 days, that's okay. Anything more than that, and you can't really do a sandwich lease, apparently, according to most recent Texas law. However, I did find a website for a law firm that mentioned executory contracts, and that's okay to do that for more than 180 days. And I was just wanting to see if that's the only way that I can do a longer term, more than 180-day lease option.
Okay, and look, I can make this 1,000 times easier for you, Drew. The only thing you need to be concerned about in Texas with respect to lease options is you can't lease option a home that you don't own. Okay? So if you own the house, you can lease option it. That's the key. Sandwich leases, not so much. right? You might be able to sign something for an option fee. There's people that are do those kinds of things. But none of this really matters. And the reason it doesn't matter is because, frankly, a better vehicle for disposing of a house in most markets is a lease option if you're the seller, because you don't have to transfer the deed. And the reason you don't want to transfer the deed is because you don't want to be in a foreclosure situation that takes you a long time to get people out of a house if they go sideways. But in Texas, they don't play that. If you don't pay, you can't stay. So whether or not you've sold the house and transferred the deed, somebody doesn't pay, the foreclosure process is from what I understand, quicker than the eviction process in Texas. So there should be no reason why a seller won't just sell it to you on owner financing with the same terms that you were going to put into the lease, have it sold, have it done with. Now you own the house. Now you can lease option to your heart's content.
Okay. What about a seller that was already going to do a lease option? They advertise that owner finance and lease option to purchase.
Yeah, just call them back and say, look, in order to get you cashed out, I'm going to need you to owner finance it to me. Any concerns with that?
Right.
And if they express concerns, tell them what I just said. Look, I'm not going to go sideways on you, but if I do, you can get me out extremely quickly. Quicker than
okay.
You'd be able to if you did a lease option. I'm putting you in a better situation.
Right. I called a few of them that were advertised FSBO, and they already had their mind up on made up on terms, and it was like $30,000 down, and some I don't know what the interest rate was, but Ron doesn't really teach paying anything down or interest rates, does he?
It's not that he doesn't teach it. It's just that it's not always necessary, because we're just trying to create spreads, and we're not usually going to be holding these things for more than a couple of years where the interest would make a difference. So what Ron teaches is exactly what I said at the beginning, is to create spreads in those three realms: a down payment spread, a monthly spread, and an equity spread for the back end price. So if someone says you've got to give them $30,000 down, it all depends on what the market will bring. If it's a $5 million house, you'll probably get $30,000 down. If it's a $100,000 house, you're not going to probably get $30,000 down. So you've got to tell the seller, I don't think your house can get that out of the market. But if you insist that it can, let's just write it up like that, and I'll take it out to the market. I'll spend my money, my time, my energy, my resources to see what the market brings. And if I can beat that, then I'll close on it. If not, me and you are going to have to do some renegotiating. And that's every single deal. Every single deal is an evaluation on whether you're going to close immediately because the terms are great, or whether you're going to just wrap it up in an agreement, agreeing to the seller's terms, provided that they show a little bit of flexibility and willingness to work with you depending on what the market brings in terms of buyers. And then you just take that contract with the long escrow period out into the market and see what you get. Sometimes you get an all-cash buyer and the whole thing can get cashed out and you can still make money on it. So the only way you're going to learn that is to make lots and lots of seller calls and ask lots of questions and find out what people are willing to do. Let them make those offers to you and then get them under contract and go sell them.
Okay, and if they aren't flexible, then, thank you for the call.
And that's an evaluation. Like, if I get the guy, like the one that I talked about with Seth, where the guy doesn't want to provide the mortgage information, I'm going to ask him once. I might ask him twice, but I sure as hell I'm not going to ask him a third time, because I've already learned that this is someone I'm not going to want to deal with, because I'm going to be on the phone for an hour with him every time there's anything that I need to talk to him about. And it's going to be a problem,
right.
And it's going to be a headache, and I'd rather go to the dentist every single Thursday for 5 years to get a root canal than deal with people like that. He's entitled to do whatever he wants with his house, but it's just not going to involve you buying it. So, you're just going to have to evaluate, is this person someone I can deal with or not?
Okay.
And if it's a no, then you either have to either walk away or negotiate a deal that works so you can get rid of them. You know what I mean? Negotiate one that you're going to close right away. I don't care if the person is a jerk to me. I don't care if they're mean and nasty and rude. If I'm getting, lots of equity, lots of monthly spread and no down payment, I'll smile and be happy that I'm getting the deal. But
right,
if there's going to be a longer term relationship, I don't want to deal with people who are pains in the neck.
Right. Okay. I had one that he wanted $30,000 down and he wouldn't budge on it. And then he said, "Well, if you're just going to do the same thing I am, and why do I need you?"
Well, you don't. You don't need me. How's it working for you? You got it sold yet? You want to give it a go for a few weeks, and then I'll call you back? Because I have a list of buyers, like 175 people long. I don't know if that's, and that's just in your area. I'm not sure if one of them is going to come through, but I'm going to be putting a lot of money, energy, time, and resources into it. But if you want to go it alone, that might be your best bet. Is that what you want to do? Or do you want me to tap into this buyer pool I already have established? Choice is yours. It's your house.
Okay.
As soon as you take it away from them like that, they're going to be right back in your hands. Instead of begging them, oh, please don't do that. Oh, I'm a pro. Oh, I'm great. Oh, I can, just take it away. Just say, if that's what you want to do, you can go ahead and do it. Or would you prefer to tap into the buyers that I already have set up? It's up to you. I got four more people to call like tonight, so let me know. That's the attitude I want you guys to have.
I got you.
Cool.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let me go. We've gone a little bit over the hour, and I want to. So I'm gonna. There is one more call on here. I'm gonna take, and then we'll adjourn. So, thanks for that call, and let us know how things progress. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Great. Good to meet you here. And this, I think it might be Atlanta if it's a 770 call.
Right. The name is Fabre. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I didn't catch what your name was, though.
Fabre, out of Atlanta. And I thank you for taking the call. A couple quick questions. We've been dealing more with the lease options, and I'm starting with wholesaling. So my question is, one, are we using that same property information sheet for the wholesaling as for the lease options? That was my first question.
Well, there's one property information sheet, and if you can get that filled out, that's great. It's really not as critical. What are you talking about wholesaling? You're wholesaling ugly houses that need repair, or are you talking about wholesaling lease options?
I haven't got to the lease options yet. I'm just kind of taking one step at a time. So I'm on the basic retail wholesaling at this point.
So,
trying to roll through step by step.
Yeah. The property information sheets are extremely important and valuable for deals where you're going to structure terms because it lists the terms and the market conditions surrounding those terms. So those are very important for that. For rehabbing or wholesaling, it's really, really simple. It's what will this house be worth when it's fixed up and pristine? And all you have to do is figure out what dollar amount you can offer. And that's a formula. Generally, it's 70% of that after repaired value less your estimated cost of repairs. So on a $200,000 house, after it's fixed up, you'd multiply that by 70%, which is $140,000. And if you estimated that it needed $40,000 of repairs, let's say, then your maximum allowable offer, known as the MAO, maximum allowable offer, would be $100,000, which means you will start below $100,000. So let's say you're at 70 and you get it under contract. Now you can choose to rehab that property yourself and make a lot of money, but you could very easily make the 30, the difference between the MAO and what you negotiated, to probably everybody on this call, definitely me, and or you could just go to an Atlanta investors meeting and show them. I got a $200,000 property. Here's the $40,000 in repairs. These are the contractor's estimates. Meet me in the hall and make offers. I'm going to consider those offers, and at the end of the meeting, I'll choose one of you to get this lovely house that you're going to make a lot of money on. And you can
Understood.
Do all kinds of things like that. I've sold properties like that a few times. So
okay, so I've got that sheet. So going through the stars, like he said, get that filled out. So I'm getting my stack together now. So once I get the stack, like he suggested, 20 to 30 of those, then I'm to call the and see pre-screen them, correct?
Well, let me understand now. You've got a VA that's producing lead sheets for you?
No, sir. I'm actually driving for dollars.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood what you said. Yeah, I mean, there's a big difference between the people that are advertising their house for sale and doing what you're talking about doing.
Right.
All you need to do is learn who the seller is and what they'll sell it for. Obviously, you know, they can't have a mortgage that's bigger than what you need, than what you'd be willing to pay. But and then you just need to use that formula. How much repair is needed on this house? What's it going to be worth when it's done being repaired? And multiply that times 70% less the repairs. Keep in mind, if it's a low value house, like, you know, like a $100,000 house or something like that, it's too tight to use that formula. So instead, you're going to use a formula that allows you to make at least 50. So like on the Mayo formula, if it was $100,000.
Uh-huh.
This is important, right? It's a $100,000 house, and let's say it needs $30,000 of repairs. The Mayo formula would say $70,000 less $30,000 equals I could offer $40,000 on it. Actually, that's not a very good example because it would work because your profit on that is only going to be about 20%. That formula is about a 20% profit, so you'd only make about $20,000 on that after holding costs, in and out closing costs, and realtor costs. On that deal using Mayo, you'd only make about $20,000. But we always want to make at least $50,000 on rehabs because we need to have a little bit of a fudge factor, and it's a hell of a lot of work, and it's a pain in the neck, and it takes time to get paid. And we could easily do terms deals during the time that we did that and make $50,000. So I don't particularly want you doing rehab that you can't make $50,000 on.
Understood.
I'll
stay with the wholesale for just a moment. I just would like I'm expecting some wind with these. So I want to start right here, and then I'll go from there.
It's a good place to start, and the reason is all you got to do is get a contract, and then you sell the contract. So once you've done that a couple times, it's going to build your confidence to move on to things that seem more complicated, but frankly are a lot easier.
Okay. Understood. Thank you very much.
Okay, no problem. Well, for those of you who are baseball fans, I won't announce the score of the Atlanta game that's on right now, but have a great evening out there in Atlanta.
Appreciate it. You too.
Okay. So listen, I think we've used up our time here. I really appreciate the questions, and hopefully you guys got a little something out of it. Feel free to give feedback to Global and ask questions for the various Ask Ron things that occur weekly. Check into that Gold Club, tons of information on there. And I hope to see all of you out in Nashville for the convention. I think they may have sold out of it. You can inquire about that. But I believe many of you are likely to go out there, so please come up and say hello. And with that, have a wonderful evening. And a great fall, and have a good night. I'm going to sign off. Take care, everybody.
You too. Bye.
Bye now.